On Tuesday's front page, Cairo is struggling toward normalcy, but the revolt that's shaken the Arab world shows no signs of slowing down. A federal plan to fire principals at failing schools hit a snag. It seems there weren't enough replacements waiting in the wings. And a billionaire from upstate New York who's backing a soccer team in England. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Hosni Mubarak's government tried to seize the initiative from protesters. The government offered state employees a raise and announced a date for reopening the stock exchange. The state-controlled news media has even begun acknowledging the protests. All this may mean the two sides are looking to sway a population that's still divided. Egypt's new vice president said the country is not ready for democracy. The White House called that unacceptable. The comments are calling into question the administration's reliance on Vice President Omar Suleiman to negotiate reforms, but administration officials in Washington say they don't have many other options. Also on Tuesday's page one, the Obama administration's $4 billion program to overhaul failing schools called for replacing thousands of principals. That hasn't happened. According to new data, 44% of failing schools in eight large states have the same principals. Education Secretary Arne Duncan says that even so, the program is reinvigorating a lot of troubled schools. Here in New York, the State Board of Regents is about to force school districts to report college readiness rates. That's the percentage of students who score at least an 80 on three statewide Regents tests. No other state posts readiness rates, and some school districts are already unhappy. New York City's graduation rate is about 60%, but the college readiness rate is only 29%. He's one of Tibetan Buddhism's most revered figures, but the Indian media have pounced on his campaign for a monastery, and that's tapping into anxiety about China's intentions on the disputed Sino-Indian border. Now, Indian police are investigating the 25-year-old Karmapa Lama. He's considered a potential future leader of Buddhism. But last month, officials discovered $1 million in foreign currency at his residence. That has some Indian newspapers wondering if he's really a Chinese spy. Tuesday's Times also looks at the Buffalo billionaire who's backing a soccer club in England. Bob Rich made his money in frozen foods. He felt a Rust Belt kinship to the Bedlington Terriers. They're from what used to be a coal mining center. Rich didn't mind that they're a ninth-tier team or that only 50 or 100 people attend most games. And he didn't buy the team, only sponsorship to the tune of $16,000. That and a new scoreboard that cost more than $50,000. Inside Tuesday's Times, President Obama told business leaders it's time to loosen their purse strings and do some hiring and investing. In a speech to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, he also promised to simplify the tax code and do away with unneeded regulations. All this fell into the category of fence mending. Over the last 2 years, the chamber opposed most of the president's health care and banking agendas. Chamber officials now say they want to tone down the rhetoric. A warehouse fire in Rio destroyed thousands of carnival costumes. In less than a month, some 35 samba schools were going to dance in the feather and sequin outfits. Seamstresses and set designers watched as flames destroyed the costumes, along with samba band stage sets. The fire pretty much ruined the chances for some top contenders and some up-and-comers. In Tuesday's New York report, time to dig out the car. For the first time in 17 days, alternate side parking regulations were back in effect here in New York. It's been a snowy winter, and even though the temperature was above freezing for much of the day, some cars were still hopelessly buried. Driver Eric Steinhauser spent an hour trying to free his Volkswagen Passat. He said he needed a jackhammer. All he had was a shovel wrapped in duct tape. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg told state lawmakers that Governor Andrew Cuomo's proposed state budget would cost the city $2.1 billion. The mayor said it would also mean devastating layoffs. On a trip to the state capitol in Albany, he asked lawmakers to find ways to ease the pain. In Tuesday's Science Times, Vancouver, British Columbia is pioneering a strategy to fight HIV that invites addicts in. Times reporter Donald McNeil Jr. explains how it works and also why he did the story.
I got interested in the story because I did a big piece last year about how the global war against AIDS is falling apart for lack of money and because people aren't practicing safe sex and because of the infrastructure problems of delivering healthcare in Africa and things like that. And then I wanted to write about a couple of places where the war on AIDS is being won. And the method that they've used in Vancouver is to create a supervised injection site. It's the only place in North America where you can buy your drugs on the street. I mean, buying drugs is still illegal, but once you're inside, that's it. You are safe from arrest, and you can, under the eyes of a nurse, inject yourself with a clean needle. And the nurse can help you find a vein. She can help you tie off. She just can't actually inject the drugs. And then while they're there, they'll also say, gee, I don't like the sound of that cough. How about taking a TB test? Or, oh, maybe you should be on antibiotics. And one of the things they'll say is, how about an HIV test?
Times reporter Donald McNeil Jr. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.